It's a new feature of Zoom, I guess, whenever I turn that on. So there's no ambiguity. That's the word I'm looking for about when the recording goes on. Sometimes I edit them. If I feel like at the end what we've talked about feels personal or something like this, then I clip the end off of the recordings. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. Warm welcome. It's nice to see you all. Yeah, some of you might know that there was a shooting in San Jose, which is not too far from where I live. Yeah, it's just really heartbreaking. It's like it feels like there can be no end to the heartbreak. It's quite something. And on Tuesday, when I was teaching, we did kind of some compassion practice together. And today I'd like to kind of like continue in that theme, just maybe born out of this heartbreak or confusion or, I don't know, this whole range of emotions. But also I'd like to couple it with equanimity. Equanimity is this, you know, another word that we might use is balance, but not so much like balance. Like sometimes we think, oh, I have to find the work-life balance. That is, you know, spend the right amount of time doing one thing and the right amount of time of doing something else. That's not, as you can imagine, exactly what we're pointing to. But instead, we're pointing to this ability to maintain a certain amount of uprightness, even though there can be some of these pressures or these forces, right, that are going to knock us off balance, quote unquote, but to be able to find our way back. I appreciate very much that, sometimes I think about when I was a kid, there was this advertisement, these commercials on TV. Clearly I watched too much TV because I can still remember all these decades later, right? And it was Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Maybe some of you remember this. I don't think I ever had this toy, but I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like a little play thing. It has a round bottom that's weighted on the bottom. So they might tip over, but they kind of upright themselves. So I don't know if that's exactly what equanimity is, but maybe one thing about that Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, is the wobble part. That they wobble. We wobble. Well, Weebles wobble too, but us humans wobble too. So we don't want to think that equanimity or just having a sense of balance or this human experience means that we have this kind of like this strict uprightness at all times. Or to think that kind of have this flat affect or no emotions or passivity or insensitivity or something like that. No, of course we're impacted. Of course we are affected by what happens. But we find a way to come back towards center. And maybe sometimes it's takes a little bit longer than other times. That's okay. But just this idea of having some flexibility and having some a lack of brittleness. So maybe plasticity or malleability or something like this, that things can respond to what's arising. So that's one part of equanimity. But equanimity is also about being able to see kind of like the bigger picture of what's happening as part of what helps us to not fall down. So it's a way in which we can bring some awareness. So as opposed to just falling into overwhelm or something like this, to be able to kind of like zoom out maybe a little bit, put in perspective, or maybe even if sometimes when we're under stress or distress or difficult emotions, it's not so easy to do that. But as best we can we shift our perspective just enough so that we aren't getting lost in the emotion? So this finding some steadiness or finding some looseness or limberness, maybe that, because often when we have some difficulty, sometimes we really contract and tighten. And that's, of course, is when we're brittle and we don't have flexibility to think about things in a different way or to see them in a different way. There's a number of things that can give us this sense of balance. And maybe in some subsequent talks, I'll flesh them out a little bit, but I'll just offer some here without fleshing them all out. One thing that can be really helpful is to have a sense of meaning to our lives, sense of purpose, something, what's a recognition of what's really important, what's really valuable. And something, of course, we can practice with, maybe before I say that, I'll say not only a sense of meaning, but also a sense of boundaries. And what I mean by this, there's lots of different ways we can interpret it, but what I mean is to no longer consider ourselves responsible for everything. And, you know, kind of being able to say, okay, I'm responsible for this, but not for that. And sometimes we need to practice that and reflect on it and work with it. It's so easy, right, for us to feel like we're responsible and can control so many different things. Something else that can support having some balance. And then the third one, which we'll practice together, is to do some meditation practice. It's quite something. In my experience, how practicing equanimity in one situation and kind of, you know, in a contrived way with meditation, it ends up bleeding out, leaking out into other areas of our lives and supporting the arising of equanimity in so many different ways that are completely unrelated with the way that we were practicing it in our meditation practice. Sometimes I'm amazed by this. So practicing in any way can help in so many ways. Okay, so with that as an introduction, we'll kind of explore what does it mean to have some compassion and equanimity. And we'll explore this in the meditation practice and feeling our way into this and using some different phrases perhaps that we haven't used before. Okay. So taking an alert, upright posture. A posture that expresses your intention to meditate. We might start with this idea of balance with our posture. Sometimes it's helpful to rock back and forth and just to find that place where there's a sense of ease or balance. I'm using this word balance. Please insert a synonym of your choice. I can't think of one at this moment. Just to finding the balance, as well as the uprightness without stiffness. And without being too casual. Can we have a little bit of intention for what we're doing now? Allowing the limbs, the arms to just hang. Maybe the hands are placed on the lap, on the thighs. If you're a Zen practitioner, maybe you're putting them in the Zen mudra. But whichever way your hands are, can there be ease and relaxation in the shoulders and the arms? And to sit and know that you're sitting. And then allowing the sensations of breathing to be known. The chest moving, the abdomen moving, in a relaxed, easy manner. Noticing what an in-breath feels like. And what an out-breath feels like. And the transitions between in-breaths and out-breaths. It's likely that the mind will get lost in thoughts. We've been thinking all day. There's a momentum to keep thinking. We don't have to make it a problem. Just very simply, gently, begin again. And then to start our compassion and equanimity practice. We'll start by bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's uncomplicated to feel warm-hearted, goodwill, care, respect, benevolence. This might be an actual person, might be somebody you know about, and of course, can be an imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, or maybe even an actual pet, a furry family member. And connect with your sense of goodwill for this lovable being. And to support this connection, this wish to cultivate, develop loving kindness with this lovable being, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. It might be that in the body there's a little bit of warmth or openness or spaciousness in the chest or in the belly. If so, we can use that experience, those sensations to support us. To be a foundation of sorts that these this goodwill that we're radiating comes out of. if that's supportive for you. If it feels too complicated or burdensome or confusing, no need to use that. And then we might imagine that this lovable being, or perhaps we know this lovable being, has some difficulties. Of course, this is the first noble truth. All beings have difficulties. There is suffering. Might be mild, might be not mild. Can we extend our warm-heartedness towards the lovable being while recognizing some of their difficulties? And our warm-heartedness just naturally changes to compassion. That is, this wish for their suffering to decrease, their suffering to end. We can say these phrases to support the compassion. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. Can we tune in to the tenderness, the poignancy, the care? When we know that someone is suffering, and then here are some phrases that combine compassion and equanimity. Maybe one that resonates with you, maybe none of them. The objective is to keep it simple and open-hearted. So staying with the lovable being who's having difficulties. I care about your pain, yet cannot control it. I care for you and cannot keep you from suffering. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world, and I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. I'll go through these again. Again, maybe only one of them resonates with you. No need to do all of these unless it feels supportive. I care about your difficulties, yet cannot control them. I care about your difficulties, yet cannot control them. I will care for you and cannot keep you from suffering. I will care for you and cannot keep you from suffering. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world, and I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world, and I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. Then we can extend this to ourselves. I care about my difficulties, yet I cannot completely control them. I care about my difficulties, yet I cannot completely control them. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world, and I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. Then we might imagine others are having difficulties, either people we know about, or maybe just all beings. I care about your difficulties, yet cannot control them. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world. And I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. I care about your pain, yet cannot control it. I will work to alleviate suffering in this world, and I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. And then to end this meditation, feeling our feet on the ground, the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes. To this idea of combining compassion and equanimity as a way to help us with balance. Sometimes we might have this hesitation to feel compassion, because to feel compassion means turning towards acknowledging the difficulties. Sometimes we don't want to turn towards difficulties, either because we're concerned that we'll be overwhelmed, or we don't know what to do about it. So combining compassion with equanimity maybe helps it to feel a little bit more manageable. Like, yes, I can open my heart to some of the terrible things that are happening, either at the world at large or difficulties in our own lives. And yet still have some boundaries around it, so it doesn't slip just readily right into overwhelm. So I saw that Marie-Christine, you had asked me for the wording for our own difficulties. Yeah, so... one was, I care about my pain, yet cannot completely control it. And I think the other I did was, I will work to alleviate suffering, but I know I'm not in control of the unfolding of the universe. I think those were the two that I use. Yes. Okay, so it can be really helpful to talk about some of these ideas with others. This idea of combining compassion with some equanimity to make it feel maybe less scary, more approachable, like there's some limits here, that it's, we're not going to just slide right into overwhelm, which can happen, right? Or even we might have that concern that we don't want to feel or acknowledge difficulties, concern that we won't be able to hold it. So I'd like to put you into some breakout groups where you have an opportunity to talk about this with others. Be three or four people in a group, and no need to say every single idea that you have about this, or but maybe just to share one idea and then allow it to go to the next person. They share one idea, then it goes to another person and they share an idea, and then if there's four people, it goes to the fourth person, and then come back around. And this way you'll be influenced by what you heard before, and you can allow yourself to be influenced, and you know, together to kind of build something. So let's see here. Oh, whoops. Okay. So you know what? Well, this is what we're going to do here. This kind of, it's all these things happen right as people drop off, and then I try to speak and rearrange at the same time. This multitasking skill is the opposite skill I'm trying to cultivate, right, with meditation, trying to be single-tasking. Okay, so how about if we meet just for 11 minutes? And why don't we go, if you need help in deciding who goes first, you can do it by the number of characters in your screen name. If you have a short screen name, you go first. Okay, here we go. Just in case you didn't know. Does anybody have a comment or something they'd like to share or question? Yes, Nancy.
I just think this was so lovely coming off of Tuesday's sit, which was really charged with emotion for me and with, I think, quite a few other people. That it was a beautiful reminder. I mean, I thank you deeply for Tuesday. It was, you read the room correctly. You provided a good sitting that was really great for the moment. And this is sort of a perfect follow-up. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you. Yeah. So we have a few. Oh, yes, Felipe.
Yeah, I have a question. So you came in the conversation, the idea of equanimity, and in this case, trying to move away sometimes from this case, the hurt, the pain of what happened. And then I was thinking in general, if you live a life where you want to get closer to your passions, you might be also falling in the other wibble, in the other direction of falling, feeling maybe too much about and getting stuck in the pain of a certain situation like the one that happened. So how can you combine those two ideas, that you're trying to find equanimity, but you also want to keep your passion in life or the things that you're pursuing and your creativity, and not no, I need to move away from that because it's bad at the end, because you can just go in the other direction that you don't want that.
Yeah. So I was, I can understand what you're saying. This, if tuning into being aligned with what's meaningful for us, like what's most meaningful, does that have to be like a passion? I associate the word passion with being a little bit, I don't know what the word is, like kind of like throwing carrot to the wind kind of idea, you know, but kind of... diving right in or something like this. I don't know if that's the right way to think about it, but Is there a way in which we can align with what's the most important for us, most valuable, most meaningful, and use that as a way to kind of help provide some ballast in which we won't be so easily off, thrown off? And maybe when I think of the word passion, I tend to think of allowing oneself, like intentionally allowing oneself to get thrown a little bit off balance. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is, but that's how I think about this. So I tend to think more about, okay, what is most important? What's most meaningful? What's most valuable? And couple that with care for others. Is that helpful, Felipe?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so we're 2 minutes past the hour. So I want to respect your time. And such a pleasure for us to practice together. So wishing you all a wonderful rest of your evening. And maybe we can unmute ourselves and say goodbye. There we go. So goodbye.
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 Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sushan. Well, pleasant dreams.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you. Bye.